is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at Photo Plus Expo in New York, and I'm with Alan Murabashi of Photo Shelter. Hello, Alan.
Hey, nice to have you here.
Alan, let's talk about Photo Shelter and how it came to be and what services you offer for photographers.
We started this off in 2005. We were really looking at the shift from film to digital and all the problems that it brought along with it. So we developed our first product, which was the Photo Shelter Personal Archive. It's a monthly subscription, and it's kind of a business-in-the-box solution for photographers where they can archive, distribute, and sell their own images. And the e-commerce portion of that supports prints, both automated or self-fulfilled, royalty-free, or rights managed, which we've integrated with Photocode, which is the industry standard for pricing of rights managed files. Last month, we introduced the Photo Shelter Collection, which is built specifically to sell stock images. There's no cost to join that. It's an edited collection. The photographer keeps 70% of the sale. They set their own prices. They do all the keywording, which is checked against our controlled vocabulary. So it's really meant as a way for anyone, whether they're a pro or an amateur, to get into the stock photography game. And that addresses the buyer's need. When we talked to the buyers, they said, we want diversity and we want freshness. So that's how we're really positioning that collection to be a competitor to the large stock agencies of the world.
So, Alan, let's talk about this from a workflow point of view. You have a photographer. They've usually been archiving their work at home or in the studio. They've been either burning DVDs or they might have it on a couple of hard drives. And if they're really smart, they might have it on something as sophisticated as a level 5 RAID, which gives them some archivability in case of a drive failure. Why would they turn to an agency or a service like yourself?
Well, we've heard a lot of stories of people that have had the hard drive that crashes at home or, you know, the storm or the power surge, et cetera. I think as a society, we're accumulating more digital assets, and it becomes more important to protect those assets, whether it's music or photos. And what we've heard all the time is, you know, somebody's hard drive crashes, and the only thing they say is, I just want the photos off of the hard drive. Please get the photos off of the hard drive. Well, that's even more important when you're a pro because that's your livelihood. When you archive it with a service like Photo Shelter, you're getting geographical redundancy. So every photo that gets uploaded is stored in California and is stored in New York on RAID sets in both places. So you effectively have 4 copies of every image that you upload. Well, once it's up in the internet cloud, if you will, then it's accessible from anywhere you have an internet connection. And so people that are traveling when they're shooting and don't have access to their home computer all the time, that's a great way to just, when a client calls you up, to fulfill a request. It also gives the clients the ability to search those images when you're not around to help them. And because of the e-commerce capabilities, they can also license it from you completely unattended, even if it's rights managed. So there's a lot of benefits to having it online, not only from a security standpoint, but from a revenue generation standpoint.
Are you finding that most photographers are utilizing your service as primarily a backup tool and then migrating toward a business model, or are they going into it from the start thinking about the possibility of sales and licensing?
Well, it really spans the gamut, and I know that sounds kind of like a generic answer, but we have over 17,000 people using the Photo Shelter Personal Archive. We have people that are using it strictly to make sure that they have a bulletproof archive. So Bill Frakes, who's a Sports Illustrated staff photographer, uses it for his selects. And he's got his Photoshop images because we'll support archiving of over 400 image formats. So he's storing just selects, and he has no need for e-commerce capability because most of the images are either going through Sports Illustrated for licensing or through his own agent. On the far end, we have wedding photographers who really don't have any need for archiving. They just need a means to sell the images as prints or electronic downloads. So that kind of represents a spectrum. And kind of in the middle, we have people like Vincent LaFerre, who's a former New York Times staffer, Pulitzer Prize winner, who's known for a lot of his aerial, beautiful aerial photos. He's selling art quality autographed prints for several thousand dollars a pop. He's also creating private galleries for his clients and his agents to show work. So when he has a specific aerial client who's interested in his aerial work, he can create a specific gallery for them that only they can see. So there's a lot of different ways that people are using the system. And so there's no real one workflow that we're trying to push to people.
There have been several well-publicized failures or bankruptcies of companies that were archiving work, and photographers literally had to scramble to download their files or lose them forever. How do you ensure to a photographer who's subscribing to your service that this won't happen to them?
Well, number one, we're trying to diversify what we do to prevent that from happening. So we're not just an archiving service. We have all of this e-commerce that's going on as well. So it's diversification of our own risk portfolio, if you will. We also will, you know, if the company ever did go out of business, we'd keep the servers up for several months so people could pull it down. There's a whole batch download capability that people can pull things from their archives. And we've had people that have had their computers crash, and they said, oh my God, PhotoShelter was the only place where I had it stored, and I was able to get it down very, very quickly. So there are things in place to prevent that from happening. The other thing is sort of the pedigree of the team that we have in place, that we built the company with. Most of the engineering team came over from hotjobs.com. The guy that built my server farm was one of the chief security guys over at Yahoo, who dealt with over 100,000 server devices on their network. So there's a level of experience and intelligence that has gone into the building of those systems that I think will give people kind of added comfort when they move their images up to PhotoShelter.
Speaking of security, what steps do you take to protect these digital assets from unwanted intrusions?
It starts at the data center level with physical security, which is a hardened security guard at the front door, key card, you know, video cameras, et cetera. It starts getting into the network security with firewalls, multiple levels of firewall, et cetera, et cetera. There's no difference in the problems that we face and anyone else faces. It's usually the person that has a password that's too easy to break. So that's never going to go away. But we also have things on the website that prevent you from dragging and dropping images. Even if someone was able to drag and drop somehow, the metadata, all the copyright information and caption information and contact information is embedded into every image. And if they forcibly remove that, then they are violating the whole Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So that's punishable by law. So we're trying to make things very auditable. So when anyone even downloads a low-res comp, we're tracking who's doing that, what IP address they're coming from. It would be a fallacy to say that it's bulletproof, because that doesn't exist once it's out on the internet. But I do think that we've taken a number of proactive steps to provide a level of security, but also provide a level of ease of use for the clients as well.
So let's talk about metadata. There are a variety of ways that photographers can keyword and tag their files. There are different programs out there. Of course, Lightroom has become a major player. iView Media Pro is a major player for a lot of folks. Aperture does it, and as well as Photoshop. And that is in addition to longstanding players like Canto Cumulus and other apps. How do you work with keywords, and can you read other people's keywords, or how is that working?
Yeah, there's a whole standard called IPTC, which is a metadata standard that was started in, I believe, the late 70s. Any of those programs that you mentioned that you caption and keyword in will suck those in automatically. If you use PhotoShelter to caption and keyword your images, when you send those to your clients, we'll embed that information back into the image for you automatically. The other thing that we've done is with the PhotoShelter collection, which is our stock image site, we have a controlled vocabulary for all those keywords. So you don't have to enter in plurals and verb tenses and synonyms. We handle all of that automatically for you.
So you're pushing the metadata out when you deliver the files. Is that metadata readable by most current applications?
Absolutely. We read it in as IPTC. We write it out as IPTC. So that same metadata standard is maintained all the way through.
Alan, you have a whole variety of different ways that people can subscribe to a service like PhotoShelter. So let's start with the entry level and work our way up.
On the personal archive side, we have a completely free account that's only limited by space. It's about 50 megabytes of space, but it gives you most of the features and functionality of the full personal archive system. And it's a great way for people just to get familiar with what bells and whistles exist. The first paid level, which is our basic level, starts at $10 a month. That's 10 gigs of storage. We move up to the standard level, which is $30 a month, which includes the ability to seamlessly blend in PhotoShelter's features with your existing website. And there's a pro level with 100 gigs for $50 a month. On the PhotoShelter collection side, which is our stock side, there is no fee to join. There is no fee to maintain images in there because we're trying to sell it on your behalf. When we sell an image, we give you 70% of the sale, and we take 30% as our sales transaction fee. That's very, very healthy ratio of sales compared to microstock sites, which literally flip that. They'll take 80% and give you 20%. And a typical agency like a Getty will take a minimum of 50% for a sale. So we're really trying to use the internet and the efficiencies that it brings about to give the photographer a much better deal than they've gotten historically. And we're hoping to have a lot of transparency of information so it incentivizes photographers not to undercut each other, because we can publish a lot of the sales data and they can know what images they're selling for.
Alan, can you go into a little bit more detail about what the PhotoShelter collection is and who's the appropriate person for it?
Yeah, it was designed specifically for the sale of stock, commercial stock imagery. When we went out and started interviewing a lot of people and doing our research, buyers were telling us they couldn't find the images that they wanted. So they'd often go to Flickr to get this diversity and then take those images, image ideas back to like a Getty and say, okay, what do you have that's similar to that? So they really wanted the diversity that they could so plainly see on the web, but in a commercialized venue. The goal with the Photo Shelter collection is to provide that sort of diversity because we're allowing anyone to come in, apply for this stock image site, and then start uploading images. And we're trying to make it very, very easy and very convenient for people because they're in charge of pricing and keywording and captioning, and then give all of those images off to the buyer to participate. And it's really speaking to kind of a freshness and diversity that they can't find in other venues.
This morning I received an email from one of my students who was hired to do a shoot, and she wants to get her images up on the web because clients need to see the images. In fact, that's one of the stipulations of the shoot, that the images be available to clients to view and place orders. What would be her workflow in dealing with Photo Shelter?
Once she did her shoot, she could upload it through a number of ways. We have a standalone Java uploader. You can upload it through the web. You can upload it with our Aperture plugin. You can upload it with Photo Mechanic. However you get the images into the system, it'll be sitting in an archive. And then from there, she can create a private gallery for this client, because assuming that she's doing it on commission, only that client will need to see those images. So she can create a password and email that gallery to the client. They will log in. They can view the images. They can leave comments. She can allow that client to download the high-res images straight from the gallery. She could price them for sale as prints, royalty-free or rights managed. And all of that can happen kind of behind the scenes. So it's a really, really nice workflow solution for distributing high-res files to clients.
One of the lessons of the 9/11 tragedy was that a lot of businesses discovered that they didn't have off-site storage, and enormous amounts of not only lives, but enormous amounts of data was lost. And since then, more and more people have been aware of the need to store files off-site.
Yeah, so I was two blocks away when it came down, so I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, it is kind of a fact of life of, again, living in the digital world that everything is just bits floating in space now, so how can you really protect those assets? And the same way that, you know, when I plug my iPhone in at night, it's backing everything up to the computer. So in case the iPhone gets smashed like I did at San Francisco Airport a few weeks ago, I can go out and get another iPhone and just plug it in. And photographs are so precious because of the visual information that they contain that if that's your business, it behooves you to go out there and spend a little bit of money to make sure that you don't lose files.
And at $10 a month, it's affordable by just about everybody.
We certainly hope that's the case.
Alan, where can our listeners find out more information about Photo Shelter?
www.photoshelter.com.
Thanks a whole lot, Alan, for spending time with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Vogel. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.macEditionRadio.com. The contents are copyright 2008 and may not be used without written permission.